Good morning, everyone. Today is the 22nd of January, 2020, and it's Wednesday morning. And yesterday we talked about or asked the question, what is reality? This morning, for the Christian, I want to talk about what is the final reality. What is the final reality? We're living in a world of sin and sorrow. There's no question about it. We look around us and we see all of the striving and contention and fighting. Even amongst the very elite, I watched some of the impeachment hearings yesterday. And you have Jesuit attorneys on both sides of the aisle, don't you? You know, they're both on both sides of the aisle. They're professional liars. Good morning, Oscar Graves. Glad to have you with me this morning. On both sides of the aisle, we see infighting. People only give their one side of the story. Doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, doesn't matter if you're a Republican. You know, it's called flesh. It's called the curse. It's called the fall. I remember coming up as a child, my father said, Larry, there's three sides to every story. There's the side that you'll tell, there's the side that I'll tell, and there's the side that none of us, either one of us, will tell. Well, today I want to talk about the story that Christ told. Christ did not leave anything out. He was full of grace and truth. He did not withhold anything from us. As a child, many, many things were withheld from me. I was given part of the story, just part of the story. I've often said, you know, we would sing that song, tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. The problem is, I was only told part of the story. And then, by the grace of God, at 37 years old, God gave me the desire to start studying the Bible for myself instead of listening to man. And as I started studying the Bible, I realized that a great part of the story had been left out. Good morning, brother, with us. So I had been given just partial truth, partial story, you know? And when I started reading passages of Scripture that never had ever been told to me, it was a very crucial time in my life because, you know, only the Spirit of God moved within me to either, I came to the conclusion, I was talking to my wife about it, and I said, you know, I said, either the Bible is true or it's not. Either all of it's true or none of it's true. We can't pick and choose what is true and what isn't true. Good morning, Howard Jett. Glad to have you with us this morning. And so it was a crucial time of my life when I started reading all of these passages of Scripture that flew in the face of all I'd been taught. I had pretty much been taught all of my life humanism. Humanism. I was taught that man had a free will and their choices determined their own destiny and that you could pick yourself up by your bootstraps and you can become anything you want to be. And you know, altitude, attitude determines your altitude, and all of these false premises that just don't line up with the Bible at all. I remember the first time I read the ninth chapter of Romans, I'm telling you, that was a crucial period in my life. I was very, you know, it was the Spirit of God, because had not the Spirit of God moved on me to subscribe and embrace all of the Bible, I would have thrown the Bible in the trash and walked away. I would have. I remember reading that passage in Romans. I remember reading Ephesians 1 and 2. I remember reading John 6 and John 10 and John 17. Just some of the scriptures that I'd never been taught. Just some. I mean, if you look at that passage, and it's amazing, because when I started subscribing to the Bible and said, you know what, I believe that the Bible, everything in the Bible is true. Everything. I may not understand it, but if I don't embrace it and I don't uphold the Bible, I might as well throw it in the trash. Good morning, Rick Vitorek. Glad to have you with us this morning. We've got a great group this morning. Howard Jett, Rick Vitorek, Leon Kennedy, and Oscar Graves. And I remember reading this passage. For this is the word of promise, that this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. And this verse 11 just blew me away, to be honest with you. If you want to turn with me to it, you can. Romans 9, verse 11. For the children being not yet born. For the children being not yet born. Neither having done any good or evil. Think about that. Apostle Paul is talking about these twins that are in the womb of Rebekah. They're not born yet. They haven't done any good or evil because they're in the mother's womb. They haven't been born and conceived in sin yet. Why would he bring this up? The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. You know, I'll tell you where I was at. What's election? I never heard that word coming up. What is election? What's predestination? What is called? What is foreordained? What is chosen? Of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. This was told to Rebekah while the children were yet in her womb, not having done any good or evil. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Wait a minute, I said. You hated Esau while he was yet in his mother's womb? Not having even done any good or evil, you hated him before he was even born? Oh, man, that worked on me. That worked on me. And, you know, years later, after doing an exhaustive study of the Bible, now a lot of people don't like this because it flies in the face of the secular humanistic philosophies they've been taught. It resulted in me writing this book, you know. God does not love everyone. But he does love his elect from everlasting to everlasting. And I've had people to ask me, why don't you just proclaim the love of God? Why do you have to proclaim that God hates people? I don't have to proclaim that God hates people, but his word proclaims. If he hated one person before he was born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God might stand, that means he doesn't love everyone, doesn't it? I mean, let's be consistent with what the Bible teaches. I've heard people change that old passage of Scripture, saying, well, that really doesn't mean that. Well, if it doesn't mean what it says, then throw it in the trash. You know? It was a very crucial period in my life. And then, you know, a lot of people say, well, that would make God unrighteous to do such a thing. What does Paul say? Paul says in verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? And he answers him, who art thou that repliest against God? Can the things formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? So what I discovered as I went on through there, I found out in verse 18, it says, therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. He's over the whole shooting match. To put it in modern vernacular, or maybe that's not so modern, but these are the old shooting match. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. I'm telling you, that was a very crucial time in my life when I started studying those passages of Scripture. You know, a lot of people have thrown that part of their Bible totally out the window. They can't deal with the truth. They can't deal with the truth. Now, I want to read a passage of Scripture that a lot of people have really contended with. And to me, it's not that hard to deal with. And it's in the last chapter of the Bible, the very last chapter, the 22nd chapter of Revelation. Welcome aboard, La Ra Maui Ralti. Glad to have you with us this morning. The 22nd chapter of Revelation, the 16th verse says, this is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now here comes the kicker. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, here's the most important part in the verse as far as I'm concerned, because it makes the rest of the verse understandable in the light of election and predestination. And let him that heareth, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Many people will build the whole doctrine of free will on that verse. There's no free will in that verse. There's no free will in that verse. Let me explain why. There's several conditional statements in the verse. One is, let him that heareth. Not all are going to hear. Not all have been given spiritual life to hear. In John 3, we read that the Holy Spirit is what brings life, what causes us to be born again by the Spirit of God. The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof, So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. That is the people that hear. That is the people who've been given quickening. That is the people who have been given spiritual eyes to see. I was 37 years old before I was given spiritual eyes to see these things. And it had never been taught to me. I'd never even heard it with my physical ears, let alone my spiritual ears, because it was withheld from me. You know, people say, well, it says, whosoever will, let him take of the life freely. Yes, those that hear will do so. Those who've been effectually called will do so. Who are the whosoevers that will? The whosoevers that will are not those who are dead in their trespasses and sin. One cannot raise themselves to spiritual life. It takes the almighty power of God. Just like he did with Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth, he said in a loud voice. Loose him and let him go. Lazarus was all bound up in his grave clothes, wasn't he? There came a time in the life of Larry Phillips, and I'm sure in the life of Oscar and Leon and Howard and Rick and Laura Maui, that the Spirit of God worked in our hearts such that he said, come forth and hear. What a blessing. And when he gives the child of God new life, it is truly, all things have become new. Isn't that true? And then we can read and hear the Word of God. And when we read passages like, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Even before we were in our mother's womb, before we had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. I've said many times, I knew an old Baptist, and he talked, you know, he tried to walk the line between election and free will. And he said, God wiggled my willer. Let me tell you something, Pastor Gables, that was his name, Gables. God did much more than wiggle your willer. If you trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, if you believe that he died for your sins according to the scriptures, he gave you new life. He breathed into you the spiritual life, and you became a living soul, a quickening. You were quickened by the power of God. And yes, you heard, because it was given unto you to hear. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It doesn't cost anything. You know why it doesn't cost anything? Because Jesus paid for it. There's no way we could have paid for it. All of the silver and gold in the world could not have paid for it. He paid for it with his own precious blood. And you know, we can go to different passages of scripture, and we can read the great story of what God has done for his people. And it gives us great comfort, does it not? You know, great. What a wonderful, wonderful story. The true story. The not just part of the story. I love to tell the story today. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. We're told in Psalms that he makes us willing in the day of his power. He makes us willing in the day of his power. And so this morning, I just want to remind you that we cannot pick and choose what part of the scripture we're going to embrace and what parts we're going to throw out. We don't have that option. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so I would encourage you to examine what you've been taught your whole life. And if the Holy Spirit works in your heart like the Holy Spirit did in my heart, it became a very crucial time. And God in mind, when I was 37, to reveal his son in me and cause me to embrace all of his word. All of his word. You know, Peter realized that there were going to be people that would not be able to accept the truth of what Paul taught. You know? Why did he point this out? I'll show you this in Peter. It's quite... look at what he says here in the third chapter of 2 Peter. And I believe that he's talking here about the truths that we're talking about this morning when he's talking about the Apostle Paul. He says, he's talking about how that the earth is going to melt away with fervent heat here. And that seeing these things, that all these things are going to be dissolved and so on. Looking for the hastening and the coming. I'm reading in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Wherein heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwell righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And also in all his epistles, this is the interesting scripture here, you know, because throughout Paul's epistles, he's teaching the doctrine of election and predestination. You know, we can see that in Romans 8. You know, we see it in Romans 9. We see it in Ephesians. We see it in Galatians. Now verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking of Paul, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. The ninth chapter of Romans, you know, the reason it's hard to be understood, because it goes against our flesh. We want to think we have a hand in our salvation, don't we? And then also in his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, beware. Don't throw out Scripture. Don't do away with it for some other doctrine. Don't subscribe to the doctrine of free will, which is Satanism, Luciferianism. But grow in grace. But grow in grace. What is grace? The unmerited favor of God. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Don't let those scriptures that you have not been taught as a child, this is Larry's version, don't let those scriptures that you have not been taught as a child rest you to your own destruction. Don't say, you know, wait a minute. You don't have, if you're a child of God, you don't have a choice. You will embrace the scriptures. All of the scriptures, they're God-breathed. And I say all of this in love this morning because I know what Larry Phillips went through, and many other people have gone through it as well. And I know that God worked a work in my heart to embrace all of his word. And yes, he is awesome. The love that he has for his children is awesome. But let us not just give half the story. Like Paul Harvey used to say, listen to the rest of the story. I'm not embracing Paul Harvey. I'm just using his saying, the rest of the story. The whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help us God. Amen. Well, may the good Lord be with you today. May he take this word and use it for his glory. I'm thankful for election. I'm thankful for predestination. I'm thankful that he makes us willing in the day of his power. I'm thankful that he raises from the spiritual death to spiritual life. I'm thankful that we didn't have anything to do with our salvation. I'm thankful for the fact that he preserves us in him and that he gave us everlasting life, not temporary life. And so, may the good be with you today is my prayer. You're in my prayers. Hope all of you will continue to remember me and my family in your prayers. And may God be with you in a special way today is my prayer. God bless.